Hello and welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent Young and I'm here with my good friend Alan Small. And it's almost, Alan, just a few days away from 2020. And so today we want to talk to you as leaders, as pastors, church leaders, about how to take some steps forward into the year 2020, the next decade. And so, Alan, I know that you put a lot of thought into this, and we're starting to at Patterson as well. And so how do we move forward? How do we take good steps forward in 2020?
Well, I always love, and some years more than others, turning the calendar page. And this is just one of those years. I'm kind of ready to turn the calendar a little bit. It's been a challenging year. There's been a lot of things that said, you know what, I'm kind of ready for a fresh start.
Yeah.
And we all need a fresh start. You're kind of glad to have a fresh start health-wise, and you're going to feel great next year. And so glad to have you here. And when I think about 2020, it kind of takes me back to my childhood when I was 4 years old when they discovered I needed glasses. I kept running into things, wow. And my depth perception wasn't really good. And so I was the first four eyes that many of my friends knew. And so I earned that term of endearment and wore it at times unproudly, broke many pairs of glasses, but you know, as long as I had my glasses on, I always had 20/20 vision. And I always thought about the year 2020. I remember talking to my grandmother about the year 2020. Man, when it's 2020, I'm going to be old. So I'm there, I'm old and all that kind of stuff. And so when I think about 2020, a lot runs through my head. But one of the things that is most important is to really think and plan and have some expectations for what 2020 should look like. And evaluation is important. I remember a John Maxwell once saying that, you know, experience is not the best teacher. It's evaluated experience that's the best teacher. And that is such a powerful quote. And that one has always stuck with me. And Trent, do you think churches are very good at evaluating their efforts?
Well, Alan, it's been my experience that we're not. I think we're kind of afraid of it because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to say, oh, this didn't go well, or this was like a lead balloon or whatever, or maybe we shouldn't continue this program. So yeah, churches are not usually good at evaluating their past efforts, events, or programs that they've done. So it's good for us, though. We need to be honest with each other and say, hey, this didn't work out so well. Let's not do that again. Because God has placed resources into our laps, and we want to do that well. And so evaluation, I think, is essential as we move forward and we have some vision and goal setting in the year to come.
Well, I can give a practical example of that in a church as well. We were going through our budget this year. And we were, you know, how it gets in a church. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes there's just a lot that comes up. We took all of our budget numbers. We kind of put them in, and then we evaluated a handful of things. But when we came back to it, our budget to us still seemed a little bit high. And we really didn't have time to do an awful lot about it, apart from make that commitment to the church that we need to go back and reevaluate where we spend all of our money, so that we have confidence that we are putting it in its best place and using it in its best way. And that's just, sometimes we, for whatever reason, we just forget to take the time to evaluate. And it's understandable. There's a lot going on. We're busy. We're busier than we've ever been before. And I get it, but it's still an important part of what we do. And I love the visioning side of things. I love to think about the future and what it holds and what it can be. And I don't know how you do it, Trent, but I like to have a word or phrase that tends to guide my thinking every year. Do you do something similar to that?
Yeah. Their puberty was a great thing. I'd like to have some, you know, at least some kind of phrase or a thought that is guiding and leading, you know, where are we going from here? And it becomes something that you can use throughout the year, that phrase or word that you can you know, make your graphics about, and you keep reminding people. Last year, ours, we were blessed to be a blessing. And so everything we did was, you know, hey, we're God's blessed us. How are we going to pass that on? How are we going to not kink the hose? And this year, as we look toward 2020, is that we, our phrase is we can see clearly, that we want to see God's hand. We want to see God moving clearly and following him directly. So, yeah, I agree. And it does become a tool that can help you a lot.
And our word for this coming year is going to be just the word disciple. Our small group material is is called Disciple. And so everyone's going to be studying that in their small groups. I'm going to be preaching a series in January out of John chapter 15 about what it really means to be a disciple. Over the course of the year, we're going to talk a lot about what it looks like to be a disciple. I picked up kind of a compilation book, one of the last things that John Stott wrote, the theologian, before he passed away. And he had a book about some overlooked areas of discipleship, and I was really moved by that book. And I think some of those topics will also make it into my preaching over the course of the year. But the word for this year is disciple, because we've got to make disciples. I mean, that's the command. That's what we are in this for. And if you're going to be an enduring church, making disciples is who we are and what we are. And if we evaluate everything, sometimes we might recognize we're doing everything but making disciples. And we don't want to just do busy work. You know, do you remember in school when I know whenever we would get in trouble when I was in elementary school, I had a teacher, she would have us pull out our science books and we would have to start copying the paragraphs on a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And oh, that was the worst thing in the world. And it was just a useless busy work task. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that with people's time. I don't want it to be church to be just busy work. It needs to have a point. And that point is to make disciples. But I also have other visions for the church. That's more from the teaching standpoint. But there's also leadership parts of church visioning. And maybe those aren't put out as much in front of everyone, but it certainly should be with your leadership. And this year, really, it's all about processes for us and developing mm-hmm. repeatable outcomes and making sure that we have good processes in place for what we're doing and what we need to do and where we need to go. And so we were working a lot on things that aren't necessarily a lot of fun to work on, things like policies, procedures. Like I shared, we're going to actually go back through our budget process is going to begin in March this year. And we hope to basically start from scratch. If we were a brand new church just coming in, this was our resource base. Where would we put our emphasis? Where would we put our resources? So that's going to be a different approach and a different thing, but an important process and one that we need to take advantage of.
Well, yeah, I think that all those, and that really relates to the evaluation part of it, is that gives you the opportunity to evaluate. You know, if you don't have some goals, if you don't have any visioning, you have no way to evaluate how well you've done. And that also leads to the budgeting process, like Alan's been talking about. If you have no way to evaluate, you have no way to budget. And the easy way is just to say, yeah, we'll just keep it the way it was, or we're going to bump everything up, you know, whatever percentage. And that shows to your church that you've not put a lot of thought into that. And so I agree, Alan, that, you know, as we think about our goal words or phrases or the things that we want to aim at, that helps us to have a framework to be able to affect a lot of things. And, you know, one of the keys, I think, too, of the visioning part of that is, as you and your church leadership, you come up with, hey, we're going to aim at this word. Like you said, Alan, your church word for this next year is disciple. Well, don't just make that a December, January thing. It has to be involved and in front of people all year long. And if you do a good job at that, of putting it in front of your people all year long, then, man, they'll learn so much more. And at the end of the year, they'll be like, yeah, that was our theme. it wasn't just the pastor's theme, it was our theme for the year 2020. And this is all the things that we did as part of that.
Well, and one of the things I've ordered banners that don't say disciple on it, but what they say is up, in, and out. Mm-hmm. And that's what disciples do. They connect upwardly. They can to Christ. They connect inwardly to the community, and then they connect outwardly to the world. And that's kind of the direction that we're going with that. And so I've got a couple banners that'll be up in the church. I ordered a bunch of posters yesterday. We've got door hangers that we're going to be able to put up on people's doors. And those are ways that you communicate that. And you want to put that, like you said, in front of people. And you need to keep that in the front and center and communicate it. And when you do, people are much more likely to get it and to get on board with it as well. And that's an important part of casting vision, is we can't over communicate it. You feel like you're tired of saying it, but you've got to say it. It's just like when you welcome people at church. Like I say this every single week, but the people who are brand new have never heard it. And that's why you keep doing it.
Right.
So you've got to do those kinds of things.
I was going to just add in that too, you know, we have a banner in one of our Sunday school hallways. That's was our word, 3 years ago. And you may think, well, gosh, don't you want to take it down? And it's like, no, not yet, because it's still part of who we are. And our word that year was rooted. We wanted people to be rooted. And there was a lot that was caught up in that we talked about. And so, you know, these things that you're gathering now are not just short-term things, but they can be tools to be used for a long period of time, and even brought back in and out just to be reminders. Because just like you said, Alan, welcoming guests and visitors, there are going to be new people who don't have that background in that word. And they need to be educated and discipled what that word was and how the rest of the church has grown in that area.
Well, and one of the things I might add is, you know, there are people who maybe are not high on the vision side. And you need to surround yourself with visionary type people and talk to someone, just as I've done in the area of processes. I'm not strong in that area, and I've got some people who are trying to help me navigate those particular waters. We are not strong in every area. But one of the drawbacks, I will say, sometimes for those of us who are more visionary, is we move on to the next vision too soon.
Yeah.
And you may be there in your mind, but you've got to remember your church isn't there yet. You need to, if the vision is for 2020 to be the year of the disciple in our church, I need to make sure that I make that a year long effort and not just a, hey, this happened in January, but I'm on to my next thing. And it's certainly a tendency for me, and I need to be careful with that. And I would encourage everyone, if you're visionary, many leaders are visionaries. Remember how important it is to not move too far, too fast in front of your people, and to allow them to absorb what's been laid on your heart.
Yeah, that's for sure, Alan. You don't put it away too quick. Make sure that the slowest, I don't know, this sounds bad, but you know what I mean, the slowest learner are the ones that you're concerned are the least likely to grab hold of it, that they have the time to get that. You're going to have some early adopters, and they're going to be jumped on, right? You know, they're going to be right there with you. Then you're going to have some late adopters that are going to take some time, and they evaluate everything. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That helps you to be more consistent and to be a better teacher and preacher.
Yes. And they're the ones who are going to give you the feedback. So,
right.
So listen to them. So I do a lot with the church visioning side, and I love that part. And then there's the personal, more, I guess, development side, that's working on developing me. And so from a professional standpoint, I look at some questions like, what areas of ministry do I need to develop or improve? And for those who listened to an episode that Luke and I did while you were recovering from surgery, we talked about an area where I thought I was so strong I didn't need to develop anymore. And I thought, hey, I'm a good enough preacher. And I realized that you know, I've got several generations in the church, and maybe I don't know how to talk to millennials, and then Generation Z is coming up, and how do I talk to them? And he reminded me of some important elements. And so I made a commitment at that point in time that I need to at least read one book on preaching every year. And I need to get insights on preaching, and I need to continue to learn. I need to improve constantly in the area of communication, because that's one of the biggest parts of our job is communicating. And so that's an area. And so I actually already have read next year's book on preaching. I got it in the mail and already finished it. So I got to pick another one, but that's important. And I also realized that one of the things I want to do is get better at connecting with the unchurched from a pastoral standpoint. I do that a lot in coaching my cross-country team, but it's different when I put on the role of pastor. And how do I deal and work with the unchurched? And that's a new challenge. And so I've got some resources that I'm going to be reading this year about the unchurched and how do I help them engage and become disciples of Christ. And so that's a couple of my professional ideas of kind of where I want to go. And it's important to develop on the professional side, because we are professionals.
That's true. Yeah. And we don't want to be known as the lazy guys, right? Which most pastors are never going to be called that. But we want to be honing our craft, sharpening our knife, you know, and doing a good job all the time. And, you know, Alan, a couple of those things that you mentioned, I'm really glad that you did. You cheated on the book thing, you know, but you've still got time. But connecting with the unchurched, I was reminded of that. There are times when I'll be out, you know, at a business or whatever, because I'm involved in chamber stuff as well. And I won't even think somebody knows who I am, knows my name or anything. And then they'll be like, oh, hey, Tred, and I'm so glad that you're in our community. And I had that happen while I was in the hospital. And it just was a reminder that, hey, you're always connecting with people, even outside your church. You're always connecting in some form or fashion. And you're always giving people tools and fodder to evaluate the name of Jesus and the name of your church. So you have to be careful, and to being able to work on that connection is an important thing. So I'm glad you brought that up, Alan.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it, because things have changed. Things have not stayed the same. And if you try to pastor the same way that you know you were pastoring and people were pastoring in the 1980s, and that's the model, it just doesn't work the same way. And we have to have information. We have to be able to analyze and internalize that information in order to improve as pastors, so we don't kind of, in essence, lose our pastoral mind trying to reach people today. And so I have some professional areas of growth. And then I also have some personal areas of growth. Where do I need to grow as a person? And one of the things I recognized several years ago, and it really happened one year when I am by nature a pessimist. That's just for whatever reason, I was always one who just waited for the other shoe to drop. And it was like, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? And I spent a whole year I read and reread a book on having a great attitude. And it was a really positive year, helpful year. And I always have to fight that negative feeling thing that works against me. And so I've realized over time that if I'm not pouring back into myself in areas of improvement, then I'm shortchanging my church. And so I've completed a doctorate degree. And when I did that, my doctorate of ministry, you did a project that was geared toward helping your church. And so I did that, you know, all those kind of things. And those are great. Those are personal growth things, but you don't have to go that far. It's really asking yourself the question, where do I need to grow? And last year for me, one of the most important things that happened was I read a book called The Road Back to You that introduced me to something called the Enneagram. which is a one type of mini personality test, but it's kind of got a different approach to everything and recognizes that our personality is a lot more complex than just one type, that we actually have other parts of our personality. And at times that part may come out, but we have an underlying vice behind our personality. And it was a game changer for me. It helped me to go back in my life and see some areas where I'd been gotten off track, where I was basically formed in some ways. When God formed us in the womb, he didn't stop forming us. He continues to form us. And my personality and everything was forged through my life and through circumstances and all kinds of things. And it was a game changer for me. And I was so grateful that I read that book. And I think it has made me a better person. And so I'm going to continue. I've already picked up another resource to examine this even further. It's about spiritual growth using the Enneagram and who you are. And Trent, I can share this with you, but I've got a church member whose daughter has just become certified in the Enneagram. And we're going to be trying to set up an interview with her for 2020. Where she can talk to us, awesome. And maybe introduce all our listeners a little bit more to that and how that can benefit them and help them. And so I'm grateful that we can develop in a personal way, and we should never lose sight of personal development. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. And I'm glad you said that, because part of our goal is doing this Enduring Churches podcast and us being able to walk alongside you, maybe come to a church meeting with you or just an individual meeting, is that we want to share resources. We understand that we aren't the end-all be-all. Our goal is just to find tools to help fill your toolbox. We want to help you. And so as Alan was talking about the Enneagram, and I recently had gone through some of that as well, there's so many great resources that some we've been able to share in the last year, and this is our 41st podcast, which blows my mind, Alan. And we've been able to do this, and we didn't even start at the beginning of last year. I know. Or this year.
We've got some goals, part of it is put something down that kind of puts some clarity to it. And when we think about our podcast, mm-hmm. and I know you and I have shared, this is one of the most fun things we do. We love sharing in this format and are so appreciative of everyone who takes time to listen. But next week we have a full 52 weeks to put out, and we plan to do that. And I also have a goal that we get 12 extra bonus episodes of interviews that we do next year. So that's a bit, what's that come out to, about 4 every 3 months? I think we can do that. What do you think?
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah. But I've learned a lot from the people we've interviewed in the past year, here in 2019. Those have been great. And I hope that somebody else has got something out of those, because I sure have.
Well, yeah. I mean, we actually get some people who know what they're talking about on here.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, there's us, and then there's everyone else, but it sure is a blessing. And I think if we could add one thing in, while we're thinking about 2020, we really wouldn't get very far if we didn't thank everyone who took time to join us in 2019. And I'm so grateful for people who have supported us and encouraged us. Our wives, Rochelle and Dana have been so, encouraging for us in doing this and supportive of us doing this. And they really want to bend over backwards to help us be successful in this. And we're grateful for them. And of course, all who take time to listen, thank you so much. This is fun. And it really does come with a sincere heart of wanting to help you and your church endure and last and go the whole distance with Christ.
Absolutely, Alan. We want to, we want to help people not only here at the end of 2019 as we head into 2020, to grow, because, you know, just, it's just true that if you're not growing, you're dying to some, at some point. And the people in your church and your community are going beyond you, and they need to have leadership that is moving forward as well and helps them to learn how to do that. And so I agree with you, Alan. I am so thankful that we've gotten to do this in 2019. It's been a blast, and I've learned a ton. I've enjoyed all the interviews we've gotten to do. And Alan and I are always swapping resources, you know, things that we can help each other with. And hopefully you've gotten some of that as well. But we're excited about 2020. And we want to encourage you to evaluate where you've been. Think about where you need to grow so that you can help your church and your faith family to go there and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you again for being a part of this special time with us. And I hope that you'll share the word, spread the word to folks about the Enduring Churches podcast in 2020.